We're going to begin here on Kuf Mem Ched Amud Aleph. The Gemara queries, Ibayluhu, Dekel Echad Uperotav Dacher Mahu. A person grants a gift of a palm tree to one individual, but yet he leaves over, gives the perot, the output of this tree, to another individual. Now, even the Gemara's question here is somewhat subject to a machlokas. The Rashbam brings down two opinions. We will explain the second opinion of the Rashbam, which he favors, which is that the Gemara's question is about a Shechemira. A Shechemira is granting a gift, and in granting him his gift, he gives one party the dekel itself, the palm tree itself, and he gives the other party the output or the perot of that dekel. And the Gemara's question here is based on our Mishnah. Our Mishnah tells us that if a person gives all of his nichasim, all of his possessions away, then if somehow he survives or he becomes healthy and he does not pass away from the ailment that he thought he was granting all these gifts from, then he may renege on those gifts because it's clear, the umdunah is that he clearly gave them away because he thought he was going to pass away. On the other hand, if the individual leaves over anything in the gift, meaning that he grants his possessions but leaves something over, when he leaves that over, we assume that he left it over because he had considered the possibility that he might survive. If he considered that possibility, then we say even if he gets healthy or if he survives, he cannot renege on the original grant because he knew about that or he considered that in his original grant. Now, this all assumes that they made a kinyan from him, because obviously if he gets up, Matan Shkimer only works without a kinyan if he actually passes away. If he doesn't pass away, you need a kinyan. So the Gemara's question over here is, okay, he gave the dekel to one individual, then but what he left behind was the peirot. When he left behind the peirot, is that considered a residual? Now what will that depend on? That depends on when you leave over the peirot, where did you really leave him? Did you just leave him the output and the peirot themselves, or did you actually grant him makom tzimuach haperot, the place in which the peirot actually grow on the tree? So if you think that you granted him the dekel and the other individual gets the payroll, got the payroll, plus makom tzimuach haperot, then you left over something, you left over karka koshu, because he has the makom tzimuach haperot, which is attached to the tree, which is attached to the ground. If you left something over, then you may not renege on your original gift when you are come healthy or you survive being a shechemira. On the other hand, if you believe that the perot, the gift of the perot, is simply that, the output, the perot themselves, but the tree and makom tzimuach haperot all went to the first recipient, that's the case, then you could renege, when you become healthy, you could renege on the gift because you granted everything to him that you had. You gave him all his loans. Leaving over the perot is not sufficient. That's the Gemara's question according to the Rashbam. We'll read the Gemara through based on the Rashbam first, and then we'll come back and read it through based on Tosu to the Re's explanation. So Gemara asks, Mishir makom perei oloshia. When he left it over, did he not only leave the perot, but he left the makoma perot, makom tzimuach haperot? So he left over a karka koshu, and leaving over the karka koshu would then make it impossible for him to renege on the deal if he becomes healthy. Or did he simply just leave over the perot? And then the Gemara says, Imtim selomar lacher lo avishiur. If you want to suggest that when it comes to granting the perot to someone else, there we see he gave the dekel and the makom tzimuach perot to the one individual. The perot, the output, he gave to the other individual. But la'atzmo, what happens if he left the perot for himself? Right? If that's the case, if he said to himself or about himself, he says, I'm granting you this dekel as a gift, but chutz miperotav, that belongs to me. Do we say when it comes to chutz miperotav, he left himself the perot only, or did he leave himself the perot plus the makom tzimuach haperot? Again, the same nafkamina will apply, is whether the first gift is a gift that cannot be reneged on, or if there is no residual, then the first gift can be reneged if he becomes healthy. So Amar Rav Nachman, Rav says the name of Rav Nachman, Imtim Salomar Dekel Echad Perotav Lecher Lo Avishiur. Alright, if we establish, or we based on the principle that when you sell the dekel to one and perot to other, there is no shiur, so it's considered a matnat shechemira bekula. If that's the case, if he becomes healthy or survives being a shechemira, he will be able to renege on the gift of the dekel. On the other hand, if he says makom peri dekel le'achad, he gives away the dekel itself, or the place of the dekel to another, v'shir perotav lefanav, he keeps himself the perot, shir makom perot. Then when he left over the perot, he not only left over the perot, but he also left over the makom perot. My time, huh? What's the reason? What's the difference between whether he sells it to a third party, the perot, or he keeps them for himself? Well, that makes a big difference, because called a gabe nafshei, b'ayin yafeh misher. Because when he looks internally, when we think about ourselves, an individual always gives the most or grants the most or takes care of himself the most. So in that case, even though when it comes to third parties, we say dekel and perot, that's exactly what he meant. He meant dekel, the whole tree goes one side, and perot just means perot to the other side. Nevertheless, when he grants a dekel to one person, he retains for himself perotav. That means that he not only retains the perot themselves, but he also retains for himself the makom perot. And Rashbam claims, this is according to Reb Zvid, who says earlier in the Masechta, that because it was unnecessary, had he just sold the dekel, the perot would have been for himself as well. So the fact that he says chutz mi perotav, that is an additional lashon. That additional lashon now gives him the ability to keep not only perot, but makoma perot, and therefore there is a shiur. So therefore, when it comes to multiple third parties, if he sold the dekel to one or gave away the dekel to one, and then he gave the perot to others, that would not be considered shiur. And therefore, if he survives being a shkemirah, he'll be able to renege on the gift of the dekel. On the other hand, if he gives the dekel to another individual and keeps the perot, chutz me perotav, he says for himself, and he keeps the perot for himself, there he will not be able to renege on the deal because he left himself a koshu, he left himself something significant, and therefore he would not be able to renege on the deal. That's the way the Rashbam understands the Gemara. Tosfos takes issue with the Rashbam's explanation, and that's because the Gemara coming up in tomorrow's daf discusses what a koshu is and how much you have to leave over. And there the Gemara says even metaltolin are sufficient to be left over. So why is he after here makom hinuach haperot? Why is that significant over here? It's not even meaningful. Even if he leaves over metaltolin, that's sufficient to be considered residual in order to, or it's at least subject to machlokas on tomorrow's daf about whether that's considered a residual. So the Re says, no, the Gemara here is continuing what we saw in the previous Gemara, and that is that a matnat shchemirah may not be affected when it comes to davar shelo bali olam, when it comes to something that's not in this world yet. So that's the question of the Gemara over here. When a person grants a dekel to one individual, the tree to one, and then the peyrot, the fruits to the other individual, well, he can't grant fruits to another individual because of davar shelo bali olam. But that really revolves around the question of when you grant the fruits, what are you really granting to them? If you are granting to them simply fruits, you're right, there's davar shelo bali olam, and therefore you can't make that gift. On the other hand, when you, if you grant perot to them, it means that you grant them the perot plus the makomi nuach perot, the place where the fruits come out of the tree or emerge from the tree, then you have given him something that is in the olam. The makomi nuach perot is in the olam, and then the perot just come along with it, which we know from the Dinei Kinyanim, we saw this yesterday as well, that if you give the tree to an individual, I'm giving you the tree for its perot, that's a good kinyan. If I'm giving you the house to live in, even though you're talking about intangible items, or davar shelo b'olam, but you did it through the vehicle of a tangible item, that works. So it's also over here. Do we say that he left him the makom hinuach perot or not? Now the Gemara says, well, im tim salomar, if you want to say that it doesn't work by two parties, what about himself? What happens if he gives away the dekel to someone else and he keeps the perot for himself? When he keeps the perot from himself, does he keep them? Is that davar shelo bali olam? And he can't keep the perot for himself because he didn't leave himself the makom hinuach perot. He didn't leave himself the location on the tree. Or did he leave himself the location on the tree in order to get the perot? And that's the answer of Nachman. Rav Nachman says when it comes to a third party, when he gives away the dekel, he gives away everything. When he gives the perot, he's just giving the perot. So if he just gives the perot, it doesn't work. So the matana of the dekel works, but the matana of the perot won't work because it's davar shelo bali olam. On the other hand, when it comes to himself, if he gives the dekel to someone else and retains the fruits for himself, that will not be a davar shelo bali olam because here he will be generous with himself. When he's generous with himself, that means not only did he leave himself the fruits, but he also left makom hinuach haperot. And that means that he has now a tangible item as the vehicle for his kinyan, be able to keep him for himself. Now the underlying premise in Tosfot, which Tosfot says here is a chiddush, is that you cannot be makne a davar shelo bali olam to yourself. You cannot grant a davar shelo bali olam to yourself. So over here, he was granting the dekel. The person who got the dekel should get everything. Now he's trying to retain something from that gift for himself. He's being konev for himself, something shelo bali olam. And so davar shelo bali olam has effect even on yourself when you're trying to make a kinyan for yourself or with your own property. And it affects you. So that's the way the Reed learns the Gemara over here. So the problem that Tosfos has with the Rashbam is simply that the Gemaras are going to deal with the question that the Rashbam is talking about here on the next daf, in tomorrow's daf. So why is it interjecting all of a sudden with this situation over here? The Rashbam, on the other hand, says that I don't really like the idea that it's a bari, number one, because it doesn't fit in this mesechta. But even if you say Shchemira is talking about what the Re suggests over here, you have to make a lot of assumptions. Number one, that davar shelo bali olam applies to yourself. That's the first thing. And number two is, why is the Gemara now doesn't mention davar shelo bali olam here at all? Doesn't really mention the idea of davar shelo bali olam in the context of this sugya. Right, so then the Gemara continues, Amalei Rav Abba Rav Ashi, Anan ad Rav Shimon Galokish Matinin La. That you said that this question of Rav Nachman is on the case here, about whether it's Dekel for one and Peiro to the other, and then they asked about him personally, if he keeps it for himself. He says, we asked that on Rav Shimon Galokish's statement that comes from earlier on in the Mesechta, that we saw earlier in the Mesechta, the Amar Rav Shimon Galokish, a mocher bay lechaveiro, a person sells a house to his friend, Barmelo, Amanachi Diuta Eliona Shali. And he says, on the condition that the upper floor remains for me. So diuta eliona shelo. He says that the upper floor is his. So Mara says he bayit le'echad b'diuta l'acher mahu. Right? What happens when you sell the house to one and you give the diyuta, you give the upper floor to another individual? Mi avishiur olo? Is it a leftover? Is it a residual or not a residual? Right now, wait a minute. Why should a residual marry over here? Here we're clearly talking about a matnat bari. Here we're talking about a well person giving this gift. Even the Rashbam has to agree to that here because this is being dragged in by the other case. So that doesn't upend the fact that we're talking about a shchemira around the first case. Now we're trying to apply the statement of Rav Nachman to another case, but that's a case of bari. So this individual is a bari. Now we know from the Gemara earlier on that Reish Lakish's statement you don't need really, because a person in general, when he says I sell you the house, he does not include with that the gag. He doesn't include that with the roof. As long as there is walls around the roof that are 10 tefachim high, you don't include the upper levels. So when you say al menat on the condition that you don't get diyuta yalona, what are you offering him? What does that help you? Why do you have to say that extra? So we learned from Rav Zvid, when you add an extra lashon, when he has an extra lashon, according to Rav Zvid, you actually get benefits. You get extra benefits. What are those extra benefits? Well, it turns out here that not only do you get diyuta ilona, not only do you get the upper level, but you also get the right to build out zizim, out projectiles or stones from the upper floors into the chatzer. So not only do you get the right to the upper floor, you get the rights to the airspace over the chatzer from that upper floor. So that's what Reish Lakish is coming to teach us. Reish Lakish says that if you sell the house and you say, I'm not, shidyuta ayona shali, that you leave for yourself the diyuta ayona, you get the diyuta ayona. Of course you get the diyuta ayona because it's not included in the sale of the house. Now not only do you get the diyuta ayona, but what you're leaving yourself is the right to extend over the airspace of the chatzer from that upper level. So now the question, the Gemara is, okay, that's true, right? What Reish Lakish is saying, we know. Now what about if he sold it to two different parties? He sold the house to one and the diyuta ayona to another. When he kept the right of diyuti alone and sold it to someone else, what type of rights did he sell to him? So mao, mi avishur alo. What did he give him the right to build over the chatzer or not? So now imtim salomar bait lechad diyuti lechad lo avishur. If you suggest that when he sells the house to one and the upper level that he sells to the other, that upper level is just what he gets. He gets the upper level, but not the rights to extend it to the chatzer. Chutz mi diyuta amahu. What happens if he keeps it for himself? When he says chutz mi diyuta, not almanat. Almanat is clear that it seems to work according to Reish Lakish. Now what happens if he says chutz? He uses the term chutz instead of almanat. So Amarov, Amar Nachman, Imtim Salamar Bayit Lechad Vidyut Lechad Lo Vishur. That's right. It doesn't work when it's other parties because Chutz Midiyut Avishur. Nevertheless, when he says it for himself, it is a shiur. Why? Well, leave it to Rav Zvid because it goes going to Rav Zvid. Amar Rav Zvid, Shimratz Lotzi Bazizim Lotzi. That if he wants to put out projectiles over the chazir, he can. Why? Alma came the shir diyuta makom zizim namishir. Since he left himself the right of the diyuta, he also left himself the right to extend the projectiles. The reason for that, again, is that a person favors himself. Number one, he used an lashon that was unnecessary here. That's the first principle, because he didn't need to say chutz mi diyuta elyona. He would have gotten the upper floor, even if he didn't say that in the sale, because it wasn't included in the sale of the house. So when he goes in and adds the extra word of diyuta, when he has that extra word, it means that he's looking for something more. What's the something more? That he's allowed to extend the projectiles into the chatzer. And that's exactly what we grant him over here. That would be true of himself, because it wasn't necessary by himself. But by other parties, it is necessary. He's giving a house to one and diyuta to someone else. He didn't say chutz mi diyuta. He's selling them as separate entities over there. He didn't use any extraneous lashon. If you don't need any extraneous lashon, we're not going to grant them those air rights. And therefore, the buyer of the diyuta gets just the diyuta and not necessarily the air rights over the chatzer. So Amar Rav Yosef Bar Menuhmei, Amar Rav Nachman, Shchiv Meira Shekatav Kol Nechasav Da'achirim. Person writes all of his possessions to someone else. Ro'im. Im B'mechalek, if he's doing it in a sequential manner, meaning that he's distributing his property one by one to different parties. Then mate, if he passes away, Kohenu Kulam, then all of them get it because they all got a matnat shchimira. Im Amad, if he survives, if he does not pass away, then Chuzir B'kulam, he can retract all of them. Why? Because here we're talking about a single gift. There was one gift, it just took time to distribute it to all the people. Of course, he can't say it all at once. So therefore, as he's saying it sequentially, it really is a gift with no residual in it. It's not that the first one got it and then there was a residual. No. Gave it to all of them simultaneously. In practical or in reality, he has to distribute it one after the other. But because he did it one after the other until he gave up all of his property, that means that he intended to give away all of his property from the beginning. On the other hand, if he gave away some of his property, and then he took some time, thought about it, and waited some time, and then gave away the rest of his property, there, mate, kanu kulan, then everybody there is kone if he passes away, because it's matnat shchimra. Amad, on the other hand, if he survives, if he does not pass away, he could only retract the last gift. The last gift is what wiped out all of his possessions. But the gifts before him were full-fledged gifts, because when he gave them knowing that he had what that was left over. He had something left over. If he had stuff left over, we said before in the Mishnah, if he leaves over something, that's not considered a matana, if he's a matana that's retractable or that he can renege on when he gets healthy. Wait a minute, the person needs to think. He grants the gift to one individual, then he's trying to think who he should give the rest of the property to. So he's thinking in the middle. Who says that the period of time in between the gifts is him retracting or him reconsidering his gifts? Maybe it's just simply this. He's going one by one. He's thinking who he should give it to. So now he's thinking. That's what the gap in time is. No, we generally believe that a person, when he's ready to distribute his property, he thinks through the whole thing first. He thinks through the whole idea or the whole who he's going to give it to, and then he starts to distribute it one by one. The fact that he takes a break afterwards means that that's what he thought at first, just to give this to this individual and then leave the rest for himself. Now that he changes his mind and gives away the rest, that won't impinge on the rights of the first individual. He got it when he had left some residual. And that means that the first individual got it, has the right to keep it even if he becomes healthy. Amar Rav Acher bar Nimni, Amar Rav Nachman, Shchiv Meira Shekatav Kol Nechasav De'Acherim. He writes away all his property. V'amad, Einu Chuzer. He can't retract, he can't renege on the deal. Wait a minute, that goes right against our Mishnah. Why? Kachshina and Shema Yishlo Nechasim Medina Acheret. We worry about the fact that he might have property somewhere we don't know. So he gave away all the property we know he's given away over here, but he might have property in another place. So maybe he has a shiur here. If he has a shiur, then we're going to say even if he becomes healthy, he can't renege on the deal, on one of the gifts that he gave, because maybe he did have a shiur. So Vela Matanita, what are you going to do with our Mishnah? Tani Lo Shiur Karko Koshu Ein Matanita No Kayemet. Where's the case in our mission that's going to come out that you can actually renege on the deal? Because we're going to always be suspicious that he has property in some other land, some other country. How are you going to ever be able to renege on a deal? Like our Mishnah says. So there are different possibilities. Right? When he says all my possessions, when he grants the gift, he says all my possessions. He doesn't stipulate which possession or demarcate which possession. He says all my possessions go to this individual. All the remaining of my possessions go to this individual. There it's clear that he's granting everything. So even if it's not here, and even if we don't know about it, he still granted it. If he did that, then there is no shiur for sure, and therefore he can renege if he becomes healthy. No, we do it. This is a case where we know for certain he has no other property. If we know for certain he has no other property, then we know the gift that he gave was a complete gift, and therefore he can renege on the gift once he becomes healthy. Now the Gemara asks another question. We know this from the Matnat Shchemira. Matnat Shchemira, just like can be granted without any contract, that he's able to keep changing his mind. His last will and testament, he can keep doing it, and each successive time that he changes his mind, that will be the koveya. But over here what happens, do we say that when he changes his mind, that he retracts the entire first gift, or when he changes his mind, he only changes a part of the first gift in order to enable the second gift? So what's the question? Tashma, kulan the Rishon. Person gives all of his property to the first recipient. Then afterwards he decides, you know what, I want to give a portion of my property to number two. So now, what the two possibilities of what happened here? One possibility is he gave everything to the first one, and then he changed his mind, he wants to give some of it to the second one. So he leaves the portion with the first one, and now he gives whatever portion he decided to the second one, but the first gift remains intact for what he doesn't give to the second one. Or, the possibility is that now he is retracting on the entire first gift. He says, the first gift was wrong, I didn't mean to do that. I only want to give to the second gift. Now again, he's a Shchemi, right? He's entitled to do this. He's entitled to change his mind, and the Kinyan's not final until he passes away. So then the Kinyan's not final to pass away. He can keep changing his mind until he passes away. So the Bryce says over there, Sheni Kana, Rishon Lo Kana. So wait, the second person gets the Kinyan, the first one does not get a Kinyan. Oh, why does the second one get the Kinyan and not the first one get a Kinyan? My love, Bishamate, isn't this a case where he passed away? So if he passed away, if you're going to say that the second one gets a Kinyan, the first one does not get a Kinyan, that means that you believe that the when he retracts and gives the gift to the second one, he's eliminating the first gift entirely. So number one gets nothing, and number two gets the half that he was granted because he retracted the first gift. So the Gemara says, no, Bishamad, it's a case where he did not pass away, but he survived. It's because when he survived, what happens then? The second will keep, but not the first. Why? That makes sense. Miktani Seifa, because it's written in the Seifa. Miktatan the Rishon, if he gives a portion of his property to the first one, Vekulan the Sheni, and then he gives all of his property to the second one. Rishon Kana, the first one acquires it, and Sheni Lo Kana, the second one gets nothing. So, Iyamar Bishlama Bishamad, if you're talking about a case where he survived, Mishum Hachi Sheni Lo Kana, that's why the second individual got nothing. He got nothing because when he granted all the property to the Sheni, he granted him everything, either everything, two possibilities again, everything that was left for number one, or all of his property. Either way, there's no shiur now, there's nothing left over. That means that if he doesn't survive, number two is out of the picture, he doesn't get a gift, because he was granted everything without any shiur. If he's granted with everything, he has nothing there. Now, Rishon is Kana. Why is the first one Kana? So must believe, number one, that we don't believe a Chazara. When you take back part of the property, it doesn't mean you take back everything. And number two, it's Vishamad, when he survived. So when he survives over here, then he can't renege on the first gift, because the first gift was only miktat. He only gave a portion of his property. So when he gave a portion of his property, number one got to keep it because he had residual. When you have residual, the matana stands even when you get healthy. And so too in the first case. The first case is the case of Ahmad. Case of Ahmad, he got healthy. So therefore, Sheni kana and Rishon no kana. The Sheni gets because he was granted a miktas. He was given a gift of a portion. And number one is given nothing because his portion now, we'll see in a second, the Gemara is going to reject this. His portion sounds like he reneged on it. If he reneged on it, he was given a full-fledged gift. If he was given a full-fledged gift when he's Ahmad, he gets nothing afterwards. Whereas the Sheni was going to mix us a gift, he also, right, he only got a portion of a gift. If he got a portion of a gift, then he can keep it afterwards. So the Gemara's conclusion at this point in time is, number one, when you have a chazara, it means only a mixat. When you retract what you said before, you only retract enough to fulfill the second statement, but the first individual keeps their gift. And number two is our cases in this brace, we're all talking cases where he gets healthy. When he gets healthy, therefore, the person who has residuals gets to keep their gift. The person who has no residuals, they don't get to keep their gift. So Gemara says, wait a minute, why is that really working so well? So Amar Lei Rav Yemer the Rav Ashi, B'tahavi Nami Shamat. Even if you say that he got healthy, what are you going to do in this first case? Let's listen carefully to this first case. Iyamar Bishlamar Chazarav Miksat Havi Chazarav. If you say when he retracts, gives a second gift, he's retracting the entire first gift, then Chazar Bakula, I know the Sheni Miat Kana. Then it makes sense that the second one gets the kinyan over here. Why? Because number two only got a kinyan b'miksat. Rishon got nothing now because he retracted the first gift. Number two got a partial gift. The partial gift you get, whether he passes away or whether he doesn't pass away, you're going to get it. Number one gets nothing because he retracted the gift. Eliyamart, if you want to suggest like you that chazarav miksat loevi chazara, that you suggest that when you retract the first gift, you're only retracting enough to fulfill the second gift, but the first person still gets it, then mekula nihavi k'mechalek, it'll be just like a case of mechalek. No, neither of them should get it. Why? What happened? The first guy got a gift of the entire property, so there was no residual there. So if he becomes healthy, number one would get nothing. If nothing else happened, number one would get nothing, because if he got healthy, you'd take it back. Now, if you say that chazarav doesn't work, then when you retract, you don't retract the entire gift, you just retract enough to fulfill the second gift, then in this case, what happens? Rishon got the whole thing. Then he comes to the Sheni and says, listen, you get miktzat. So what are we going to do? We're going to take a portion of the property away from number one and give it to number two. But let's look at both of them now. Number one, when he was granted the gift, had no residual. And number two, when he was granted the gift, there was no residual either. Why? Because he got what was left from number one. Number one still kept the first half of his gift. That means that either way, neither of them got property that had a residual. If that's the case, neither party should keep at all. And yet the Braisa says that one party has to keep it. So even if you want to say that the Braisa is talking about a case of Ahmad, it doesn't help you. We still can learn from this Braisa that Chazarab Miksat is an Ikra Chazara. That when you renege on retract a gift as a Shchimira, you're retracting the gift. Means that the second gift is a gift and the first gift is wiped out entirely. And that's what the Gemara passes over here. That based on this question, this conclusion, Hilchasa, Chazarab Miksat Tavi Chazara. If you retract a portion of the gift, it's as if you eliminated on the entire first gift and now you're reallocating. It's Chazarab Kula. Reisha, the case in the Brice and the Reisha Mishkachala, Benchamate, Benchamad. Doesn't matter whether he passed away or he survived, then number two will keep their gift and number one will get nothing. Number one gets nothing because when his gift was granted, he was given every piece of property. But it doesn't even matter anymore because once the second gift was granted, number one's out of the picture. Since number one is out of the picture, he gets nothing. Number two gets the property, whether he survives or doesn't survive, number two gets it. Why? Because the first gift is gone. Once he gave the second gift, he retracted the entire first gift, number one's out of the picture. So number two only got a portion of his possessions. Number two got a portion of his possessions. If he passes away, he keeps that portion. If he doesn't pass away, he keeps it because it's like our mission says, it's a gift with the residual. A gift with the residual you get to keep. Save for the second case in the Braisa, L'mishkacha L'bisha Ahmad. Second case in the Braisa is only a case where he survives. And that's why we say Rishon Kana and Sheni Lo Kana. The Rishon gets everything and the Sheni gets nothing. Why? Because the Sheni only got a Miksatan. He got whatever was left over by number one. So number one got a gift that had residual in it. Number one had a gift, he only got half of it. So he got half. That means that whether he dies or doesn't die, he's going to get it. Number two just got kula. Whatever was left over, he gave to number two. So number one, he didn't retract the gift to number one. And number two is, number two got no, there was no residual. There's nothing left over after he gave the gift to number two. So if he passed away, then the Rishon would get his portion, the Sheni would get his portion. But in the case where he survives, number one gets to keep his portion because there was a residual when his gift was given. Number two keeps nothing because there was no residual when his gift was given. So if that's the case, if you want to say the Braisa says the case where the Rishon gets and the Sheni doesn't get it, that's only only a case Bamad, where he actually survived. If he didn't survive, then number one and number two would get it. And because
they both received a Matnat Shchemira. And a Matnat Shchemira is going to go through if he passes away.
Okay, we'll stop over here.